Welcome to Amplify, the personal brand business show. Today on the show, Bob is speaking with Ruby Zatino.
The overall thing about social media and online platforms and really anything you do in marketing, if you have no clear indication of who is on the other side, you're throwing darts multiple times a day and you're missing every single time. So that's why a lot of people are exhausted in their creative approaches. They're really exhausted because they're trying to throw 10 million darts out and see what hits.
Hi there, and welcome back to the Personal Brand Business Show. My name's Bob Gentleman, and every week I speak with incredible people who share their secrets to building, marketing, and monetizing your expertise and the mindset you need for your business to grow and thrive. As usual, if you haven't already, this is another reminder. Before we really get into the show, just take a second to subscribe. And in the Apple Podcast Player, that's the little, very discreet plus icon in the top right-hand corner. So this week, we're really going to get down into the weeds, or rather up into the flowers. We're going to be talking about the visual aspects of personal branding with Ruby Zatino. Ruby, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
So this is a conversation that comes up often with clients because show and tell is a big part of building your personal brand. A personal brand, it doesn't exist in your head. It has to exist in the head of the other person. And we do this through words, and we do it through pictures. And essentially, the space that we own in the mind of the other person, that's our brand. Maybe before I get too far in, Ruby, would you maybe like to tell us a little bit about who you are, where you are, and what you do? I'm very excited, but I think if you maybe just introduce yourself first.
Yes, my name is Ruby Zatino. I am an owner and brand director at Charisma Co., and we are a branding and marketing agency in Bakersfield, California. Primarily, we love to connect with leaders and innovators in their businesses, and we like to understand who they really, really are in the depths of them, what they're doing now, and what they aspire to do in, say, the next 5 years. And we love to cultivate all of that conversation and help them elevate the brand's mission and purpose, and then take it into visual format.
It's really all about communicating the personal brand, which is really what it's all about.
Right.
I mean, one of the things I love about your work is it's very stylish. You and I have a client in common. We won't talk about who that is, but everything that you put out for him is super polished. I really like it.
Good.
And I'm curious to know, what is it that goes into making that happen for a client?
It is a lot. Of course, there's always this beautiful end result, but there is so much depth and process. And I always say it starts with the person, and that, you know what I mean when it's this brand conversation. It's really identifying who they are. This particular client, like every client we work with, we understand what are they trying to convey? What do they actually dress like on a normal occasion? What about on an occasion where they're speaking or they're going to a certain high-end event or something? We really try to understand what's their natural tendencies. And then once we identify and solidify all of their design aspects and, say, the color palettes, everything starts to take form as to even what colors we put our client in, what they're wearing. And it flows seamlessly and naturally because it really comes from a depth of who they are. This is not us saying, hey, you should dress like this. It's us saying, let's take who you are, what you're about, how you would normally dress, and let's just polish it, refine it, and give it a little bit of finesse.
So I see people working with agencies quite often, and my philosophy is, in an ideal world, people would do an awful lot of this themselves. But the more busy or more successful somebody is, the less time they have to do it. And it doesn't make sense for a lot of people. And often I see agencies getting involved in that stage, but what I usually find, and you probably recognize this as well, is the first couple of weeks are great. The first month are kind of okay, but very quickly it runs out of steam. Yes. And I'm curious to find out, how do you work with a client in order to maintain that momentum? How do you manage to avoid running out of steam?
Okay, so I always say that the management side of things found me. I did not want to create an agency that required management. I was fighting it so much, but then I got to a place where I understood if we wanted to succeed and we wanted our clients to really succeed and we had the heart, I couldn't take everything that we did, hand it to them and say, good luck, you know? Because that is why you see a lot of people like fall. One, they don't have the time. Like you said, whenever they are in a place of being so successful or successful at what they do, they don't have the extra time. This is a full-time job. That's why we do what we do. But so there was the time thing. And then it was, okay, how do we create a system and a process and a flow that is going to really create this, it's really going to create the consistency, because consistency is really everything. So what we started to do is we started to create a quarterly approach to what we do. So it was no longer a one-time, you can come in, you can see us, you can develop your brand. We'll give you the photos, the images, the visual elements, all of this stuff. And then again, have a great time figuring out and executing this grand package, right? And now it became, okay, we have to create content with a quarter in mind. So actually, like say our first week going into what we call production week with our clients, we are about 8 hours of content producing within that week. So with all of this comes immense strategy. Again, tons of content strategy, content pillars have been discovered, what we're going to do, how we're going to approach it. And then we break it down into, say, like 4 segments of what these 4 content pillars will be. And we're doing outfit changes within even those 8 hours. We're changing sceneries. We're doing all this stuff. It is quite a crazy production. Our clients are like, wow, we get a taste of what models feel like. It is a lot of work. They're exhausted and it's so fun. And so all of this, we have this now big chunk of production, and we are now mapping out the release of the production for the next 3 months. And so now either our clients can go on a quarterly system where they just come in every couple quarters or whenever they need new updates and new formats, or we actually go on to a year contract, which is our favorite, because then we can really cultivate the brand. When that first quarter is about to finalize, we're meeting a month before the end of that quarter to say, what do you have in the next 3 months happening that we need to highlight, promote, market, what extra things, what worked, what didn't. We're seeing all of those big picture things, and then we're creating content based on that information.
So it's very involved and there's a lot going on. And that explains what I can see from the outside, which is consistent, super slick polish. In your mind, and this is, I guess, a question probably a lot of people are sitting at home thinking about, a lot of people will be thinking, can I afford this? And I don't want to talk about money, but maybe if you did say, this is the kind of person we work with, because this is for whom it's appropriate. And then maybe after that, we can talk about how people could perhaps achieve those results at home or by a do-it-yourself approach. But for your ideal client, your approach is right. But who is your ideal client?
The clients we love to work with have multiple actually businesses happening, and then they have creative projects going on. So a lot of the times they are, again, in full operation mode, but they're interested in even exploring new things. So their business kind of sustains them financially, and then they're able to expand into creative projects. And that's where we really thrive, because we can help sustain the business model and the business brand. And as they keep exploring new things, they release a book, they do this, they start a podcast. we get to go on that journey with them, and we already understand the brand. We have all the tools, so we are able to pivot quickly with them, and they don't have to go through the stress of conveying new messages, trying to get somebody to understand what they want. We're already there with them. So if I guess our client overall is an impeccable entrepreneur, they have just a high understanding for quality and excellence. If they show up, they show up big. They don't know how to do it any other way. And they're usually looking for a team that has that same skill set and ability in a format that they don't understand or they haven't tapped into.
So it's a really powerful boutique concierge yes. style service
yeah.
that, yes. that's for a particular kind of person. It's not necessarily in the fashion world what you would call high street fashion. It's very much yes. the high end.
Yes. And we've tried, you know, we've tried models that can work for everybody. And at the end of the day, it was stripping so much life out of me. It was taking up my time. Yes, I could have made money a lot quicker. Yes, I could have been somewhere probably that people could only dream of. But at the end of the day, I preferred to keep it with a select few, if that's all that I had in my hands, that was going to value what we do. And then in return, us valuing what they do so that we can really become like a part of their team and be proud of that. So I can literally speak about my clients and I almost market for them because literally, I mean, I market for them. It's what I do, but I gladly market for them because I have learned that there's so much more about it. It's the person, and we get to understand who they really are.
What I really like about that is a lot of people, like you've hinted at, will go after business no matter what. As long as there's a little bit of profit, mm-hmm. then it's yeah. worth doing. But holding yeah. out for that ideal client,
yes,
it takes some discipline.
It takes time.
But the
it isn't
rewards
easy. It's tempting. To yeah. break that all the time, you know, it's tempting to compromise in our world. There's so many, you know, quick, you know, grow rich, quick solutions given now that I think it messes with your mind a little bit. You start to wonder, like, am I like missing the mark? But then you realize, like, it's a cheapened process of something that you want to do. And I'm not against that because I have, like, for example, my husband, he is amazing, like, a strategist and thinks about systems and processes and getting people in and out. And that he would do my business model so different, but I keep holding down, you know, no, this is how I dream of it. And this is how I want it to be, or else I don't want to be a part of it. You know?
Well, there's a few hidden benefits to the way that you've done it in that your client base are all peers, if you like. And the kind of referrals you're going to get from the kind of clients you have are going to be very different from the kind of referrals that you would have got if you built a different kind of business. So the sure. growth potential and the network potential is
yes.
completely different. And in terms of your personal brand, we're judged by the company we keep. And so
yes.
when somebody's looking at referring you as an agency as opposed to anybody else who could, in theory, do the same work.
Sure.
You're judged very, very differently.
Right.
Which will be very powerful as well.
Yes, I believe so.
So I think what I'd like to maybe play with, if that's all right with you, is, okay, we've got the high net worth entrepreneur who has this concierge boutique service. But there's mm-hmm. a lot of people that are not quite there yet, but you have a lot of knowledge and experience.
And yes.
maybe it's worth having a conversation about how could we recreate elements of that ourselves? So if you met a friend for lunch and she said, Ruby, I've got this little business. I can't afford you, but what should I do?
Yes.
What would your advice be?
My advice would be to begin with the who's, what, when, where, whys, and hows. Like I go back to my English principles there and say, you've got to identify who you are and who you're talking to. If you do not understand the essence of who you are, you're really missing what you actually bring to the table, what's going to make you different than someone else. Sometimes answering the question, how am I different from everybody else, is the hardest thing to do on your own. So I would ask like the closest people that you trust, maybe 5 people, and just say, hey, can you give me a small report on who you believe I am? What attributes I bring to the world, what about my skill sets, anything you know about me, can you just write me a report? That would mean the world to me. Maybe give them a Starbucks gift card or something just to say thank you. The next thing I would identify is really like, who is your business or your service or product for? And again, this can be really mind-boggling, but if you really get down to the nitty-gritty of, I always say it like this, by this time, you've probably experienced a couple of clients. Think about the kind of client or the client that if you had 10 more of them, work would feel like a bliss, right? So think about their attributes. What are some significant personality traits? What might they do on a Saturday? Do they have kids? Do they not have kids? Because those conversations, Are they married? Are they not? Again, the overall thing about social media and online platforms and really anything you do in marketing altogether, if you have no clear indication of who is on the other side, you're throwing darts multiple times a day and you're missing every single time. So that's why a lot of people are exhausted in their creative approaches. They're really exhausted because they're trying to throw 10 million darts out and see what hits. But if you really understand, okay, that conversation really changes. If you, Bob, are sitting at a table and you're talking to, are you married, Bob? Should ask. So yeah. You're talking to your, and this table is your wife, your son, a business partner, and a friend. If you're having this one conversation with these 5 people, it's going to be a very safe conversation to make sure that it appeals to everybody. And everyone's going to walk away saying, that was a great conversation. But if you have just you and your wife, that would be a very dedicated conversation and a very strategic conversation to what you and your wife need to talk about and what would benefit her and her life. And then if you had one with your son and your business partner, like individually, that would be a very different version of Bob. Yeah. But collectively, you're becoming very surface version of Bob. So that is what we're missing so often in our Instagram approaches, our social media approaches. Like anytime we speak, we do not have a clear indication of who's on the other side, and we're trying to talk to everybody, and we're coming out very surface level. But if you know who's on the other side, you can have rich daily conversations and hit the target every time. So those are my who's and my what's. Is like, what do I want to be known for? What am I currently doing that I can share? So there is so much daily activity happening in businesses that is not being shared. So there is a power of visual representation of who you are. So if you can start conveying messages on what you do in a visual form, that's going to be amazing. If you're a speaker, I want to see you as a speaker. I want to see you on a stage. I want to see you talking to somebody. If you're a coach, show me that you're sitting down one-on-one in a room or on a Zoom call with this person. If you are a stylist, I don't want to just hear you're a great stylist. I want to see you in action, picking clothing, putting it on people, you know, all those aspects. There is power in storytelling in a visual form. So what do you do? And then when can people jump on board? What does it look like to work with you? All those things need to be answered. So I think if you get a whole script down of like the who's, what's, when, where, why, and then how, you really can go a long way. And why is so important?
And what about the visual aspects of things? Because that's where a lot of people struggle. And a lot of people overthink things as well.
Yes.
And I remember from personal experience, I used to really struggle. And this sounds ludicrous for the people who know me well now, but I used to really struggle with personal visibility. I couldn't take a selfie. I really struggled with it. What advice do you have for anybody that's maybe struggling with personal visibility? It might be because they feel like they don't want to be seen as a show off or attention seeking. Yes. Or it might be that they're anxious about how they look. What advice might you offer for that kind of thing?
So, in true story, I would say 80% of the clients that we actually serve don't like the camera. They have all struggled with this very, very much. They're not prepared and ready to face this Instagram world. So we understand, and I love that. I actually personally love that. I think that some of the greatest people are not camera people. They are brilliant in their space. And so I think it's just a matter of getting very comfortable with the idea. And if there is a purpose at the core of why you're showing up, it becomes a little bit easier to show up. So if you answer your why, like, okay, yes, this, we can get lost in this world of being like vague and showing ourselves and it being all about us. I get that. But then what about the fact that if you don't show up, perhaps there is 100 people that are waiting for your leadership or your tools and you didn't provide them that day? What about that your face can represent something for somebody? Perhaps there's somebody who looks just like you and has been timid to go into the space or even timid to start their business because they feel like I'm quiet or I don't present this way like everybody else does. I'm definitely not what they call Instagrammable, whatever it is. You could become a representation of that. And it is amazing. I'm going to give you just an example too. Glenda Baker, she is a real estate agent who became huge on social media platforms. She is an older woman, she's gorgeous, of course, and she's got her own personality and she's bold and loud and like, she's so refined. Like, she showed up as who she was. And you don't understand the immense impact that she has had on a whole generation that was thinking, I cannot do that because that's for the younger generation. And she came in strong and she has been such a presence. And since then, I've actually seen a lot of that generation in the real estate industry grow because of her impact. So I'll also talk about a book that Seth Godin wrote. I love Seth Godin. He's just genius. But he actually talked about it. I think it was in Lynchpin. Oh, I'm going to mix up the books. Anyways, he talked about how creating and putting yourself out there and your work out there for everyone to see is actually a selfless act. He said it's actually one of the most selfless acts you can do because now you're in a position where you're sharing and everybody has the opportunity to have an opinion on what you've done. But if you realize that this moment counts and what you have to say matters, you can get over the criticism. You can get over yourself even, because really, I don't care what anybody says. Being on camera really is selfless. You're having to put yourself out there. You have the potential to fail. People aren't really willing to take those risks.
And I think if you do, you rarely do fail. I think this is the bizarre thing, is that there really is nothing to lose.
No.
Something I find myself saying quite often is, well, most people worry about reactions of other people when they start showing up online.
Yeah.
Thinking, am I going to get a negative reaction? And yeah, you probably will. The way I look at it is, one third of people are not going to like what I produce.
Right.
One third of people are going to completely ignore it. But one third of people, they are going to be on my wavelength. We're going to vibe.
Yes.
Here's the thing. The more I put out, the more that third grows. That's the only third that matters to me. Most people spend their entire lives worrying about the two thirds that wouldn't spend any time or money with you anyway.
That's right. That's right. And you want to know one of the most bizarre things that I've actually come to terms and understanding, like as we're taking clients through, as doing it myself, it's actually your family and close friends that actually have the hardest time at first watching you do this. It is really hard, I think, for somebody. So, you know, obviously when we go through these processes, we're identifying where our client is, most importantly, where they want to go. There has to be something that is a roadmap, a tool that we're setting them for success to head that way. But we are really actually activating them in the closer form of their future self. And so a lot of the times that it feels or may look like an imposter or somebody that is just trying to be something they're not. And I always say it's not that it's not who they are. It's just not who they all the way are yet, but are on their way to becoming. Yeah. And so they have to really show up as that person and commit to that future self. And the crazy things happen is that that 5-year goal becomes 2 years because they activated it and they made it a visual reality for other people and themselves. But in this process, it's an excruciating pain for everybody around. It's a little bit, I'm just going to use the word cringy sometimes, because you're watching, say, your spouse, your husband, your wife, your friend or whatever, put themselves out there in this way. And I think that ultimately that we're actually feeling the pressure of the closest people around us. It's not even like a big wide group.
For me, that was one of the biggest things in the beginning, because I'm a very self-conscious person. And my kids were teenagers when I started making a commitment to showing up online. And I think for them in the beginning, it was very cringe, but they quickly understood the direct correlation between my activity and the food on their table. And so they were very supportive. In fact, I got them, honestly, I probably wouldn't be doing it now if they hadn't been as supportive, because they started taking pictures that I could use. They became my crew to an extent.
They're your advocates. Yes.
Yeah. And I met my son's partner's parents for the first time. And my son's partner introduced me to her parents as an influencer, which I thought was hilarious.
I love that. Yes.
I don't think she was joking.
That's amazing. That is, it really is special. I see the same things happening. You know what? Like one of a beautiful recent success story of mine is this family business. They've been operating for 15 years. They have this whole generation that is on the fence of working in the business or not. Parents are going strong. They're night and day grinding and working and making this business grow. They finally invest in branding. Their kids come. And then all of a sudden, there was a mending that started to happen between that generation and the next generation. And all of a sudden, their parents' goals, ideas, plans, like, became something they honored and respected. And then the commitment on the children's side to level up the business and come in and really grow everything together, they have been unstoppable as a team, as a force, ever since the branding process. And that's what's incredible to me, because I feel like there's so much of those similar stories now where there are kids that are finding some form of interest correlated with what their parents are doing, but maybe not in the same format. And this kind of new direction of really branding and marketing, setting yourself apart, creating visual form that really conveys the message, it starts to bring it into reality and into a way that the next generation can receive it, you know, and they now take pride and they also join and take action.
I think what's really interesting listening to you there is personal branding, personal visibility. It's it's easy to say it's quite superficial, but mm-hmm. it does do, in order for you to transmit who you are, there has to be a process of going inside as well. You have to understand who you are. And if you're doing that as a team, you have to start to understand each other and actually look at each other sometimes for the first time properly. And more importantly, understand how the other person wants to be communicated. What is their actual identity? Because we don't all the time know what's in the soul of the other person. But if you're going to be working on a personal brand project together, collaboratively, you need to understand what actually matters to these people. And that's a powerful thing.
I agree, because, you know, we have husband and wife teams. They're sometimes some of my favorite to work with. I always say, even in a situation where, say, the husband or wife is not a part of the actual forefront of the business, they're a big part of decisions and collaboration. But in this situation, we have direct husband and wife teams, and it's been like incredible to see what you're saying is that through this process, there's also like a defining factor of what makes each of you so special in this business and what makes it spark together, you know, and then there's a sense of respect and where for each other that maybe was gone for a little while, because all of a sudden they're going, okay, here's this other person outside of us. Everybody laughs and says our branding sessions are like therapy, because sometimes they can be, depending on the season they're in, what they're going through in their real life. This is why I love what we do. We don't just hit on business, because there's so much personal aspect. I am the person that says, okay, what's really going on? Like, are you on opposite sides of the spectrum? Why? Like, what happened this week? Are you okay? Should we talk about that before we talk about this? Because this is not going to work unless we talk about this, you know? So it's been really powerful to kind of build that trust with my clients that they can be completely authentic in this branding space, which is mind-blowing every time.
So I'd like to touch on your own personal brand journey a little bit. And I guess what that's looked like for you. What does your own content practice look like? How do you make sure that you don't just put the clients first, but you actually manage to do this for yourself? Because I can imagine that's not quite so easy.
That's not easy. I'm actually barely so... You know how it works. Like, we give our best and sometimes the business gets the leftovers, but we have always actively been aware about content for ourselves. We just haven't implemented as much marketing strategies and things that we should have. We've just been very organic, everything we've done, and even organic is amazing. Like, so we've seen great results. My feeling of success is that we get the right people in here, and that's a level of success for me. But how do we do this? Recently, we're putting a lot of effort, but I think it was timely. I think time is everything. You know, I'm okay with where we are picking up now, because it took a good 2 years just to establish what we would be, and just to keep going back to the drawing board, making adjustments based on how the clients were working, how it wasn't. There was a lot of like team dynamic things that were going on. There's a lot of back house things that were really happening that I didn't feel all the way ready to say, okay, next move, next shift. We were in a building stage, like crucial building stage.
Well, I think as well, one thing is, a business like yours, it's not easy to get right. And I know this from experience. So really getting the processes locked in is the most important thing. The other side of it is personal branding. It doesn't have to be all about what happens out there, visible on social media for everything. Branding is about relationships. The branding in its essence is the connection between two people and the flavor of that connection. And you've got that with your clients refer. Mm-hmm. That is a powerful brand. Now you understand it like you've done for the clients.
Yeah.
Now it makes sense to come out and communicate it.
Yeah. It's funny you say our clients refer. Really, like, our clients are, they're selfish with us. They actually say, we don't want anybody to take you from us. So it's really a beautiful thing. I love the clients we work with. Like that, like you said, though, it became very important that we are fulfilling what we say we're going to fulfill. And there's just a lot of trial and error. Now I'm so excited because now I am transitioning into putting, we revamped and redeveloped our website. So that's about to be coming out here shortly in the next couple of days. We have added podcast. So now I'll be podcasting. I already have 6 videos recorded and ready to go. And then YouTube will launch as well. So a huge shift for us in-house. And I already see just in the short amount of effort that it's already doing something impactful. But I cannot wait for this like next whole year as we just go really crazy on some efforts.
Well, I can't wait to see what happens. And I think we're going to have another conversation sometime because yes. There's so many places I could go that I haven't gone and we just don't have the time.
Yes.
If people want to find out more about you, Ruby, or they want to find more about Charisma, where can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
So you can see us on the daily, literally, on Instagram. At charisma.co, charisma.co. We are active. We love to show up. We love to talk. We love to communicate with you guys and just bring you up to speed on what's happening day to day. And then you can find us on our website. And in a couple of days, by the time the video is out, you'll have our website will be good to go. You'll be able to connect with us, communicate, get on our email list. I talk to our subscribers pretty often, and there's a lot of juice there. So www.charisma.co.
And Ruby, before I let you go, what's one thing you do now that you wish you'd started 5 years ago?
One thing I do now I wish I started 5 years ago was take care of myself. I'm really big. I'm a mom. I'm a wife. I'm a business owner. In all those aspects, a huge like giver and participator, and I love to be present in all of them. And so I would lose a sense of myself, or I was always last or never even on my list at all. And so over the last year and a half, I've gotten some coaching. So I've done one-on-one coaching, which has been incredible. Sometimes you just need that outside looking in perspective, people to ask you why you're doing what you're doing, people to stop you and say, why did you choose to do that? All of those conversations go a long way. So I'm personally investing in myself and then taking time. I'm back in an active state, going to Electric Cycle, which is a cycling studio here. Just little efforts have gone a very long way to say, hey, you're important too. And none of this can function or run without your health and presence. So take care of yourself first. Love yourself first. Walk yourself through some of the things you walk other people through. And then you can really show up and activate in all the areas you love.
That's a really good answer. Ruby, thank you so much for joining me. You've been great fun.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
And for you at home, thank you for putting up with me again. Thank you for listening. If you are so inclined, a 5-star review would be amazing. That's 5. And if you did enjoy this conversation, you will probably love the Personal Brand Business Roadmap. It's everything you need to start, scale, or fix your expert business. It's 55 pages, lots of pictures of everything you need to start, scale, or fix your expert business. I've said that. Ruby, it's late. I'm tired. Had a long day. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I will see you.
Thank you. You have a great night. Bye.